Hallelujah. Thank you, praise team. Let us be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. For Jesus Christ conquered Satan. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Everybody say hallelujah. Christ conquered Satan. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for all you have done for us on the cross, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice that God made and bring his only begotten Son for the salvation of mankind. For without the shedding of the blood, there will be no redemption. There will be no salvation for me. But you did it, Lord. And for this, we thank you. Now, bless this gathering this morning. Bless the word of God that we are going to speak. Let it make impact in the life of people. And let it be to your glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. This morning, by the grace of God, liberty from captivity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody repeat with me, liberty from captivity. Let us go to Isaiah chapter 61 verse 1. Quickly, please. Isaiah 61 verse 1. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To proclaim liberty to the captives. To proclaim liberty to those who are bound. And Jesus accomplished this in the cross, bringing salvation to mankind. However, today we are going to discuss something that this is just going to be like part one. I actually call this initial captivity. By God's grace, on the part two, we are going to go into the main issue that we want to bring out, which is spiritual captivity. For this initial, a foundation we are laying today. Because it happens that Christ has set us free, and unfortunately, many are still bound. And whether it be a product of rebellion, a product of lack of ignorance, or machination of the enemy, or you are pushed into it, it is still captivity. And whether it is any of these, Christ still deliver and we yet deliver. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And whether it is through whatever means the enemy has brought forth in the spiritual, in the material world, in the physical, or even emotional captivity that you have, even as a Christian, Christ will deliver, has delivered, and will yet deliver. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But this level one, because captivity have levels. This level one we are talking about today is where many Christians find themselves. And when they don't do what they should do, or when they don't fight back, when they don't act according to the word of God, what is initial captivity can become spiritual captivity. And in this spiritual captivity, you will find out it is a horrible pit. It's a place you don't want to be in. It is a place that will bring destruction. We're going to go into that in a little more detail in this foundation we're laying this morning. Captivity is a product, in most cases, of sin, of willful sinning and opening the gates. I'm going to touch that also. When you are a captive, you are not a free person. Captivity, by definition, is a state of being captured, imprisoned, bound, held against your own very will. It is not captivity if you can walk away, if you can stop it, if you can end it of your own. It takes the grace of God and it takes deliverance in some cases. So in captivity, you are limited, you are captured, you are bound. You are not your usual self. It is not natural. It is not good for you because we are born to be free. And captivity at times, or most of the times, happen in the mind first. I want you to understand that the mind is a battleground where God and Satan can meet to either save or bind you. A battleground is a place chosen for war. In the days of the old, when they go to battle, when they plan to battle, city against city, nation against nation, people against people, they choose a place to fight it out. We are going to meet by that mountain, White Mountain over there, at the valley of that mountain, on such date and that date, that is where we are going to fight it out. So your mind is a battleground. And your mind is open to frequencies. It's like a radio that is open to receive from 93.4 or 80.7 FM or whatever, and all these frequencies are coming in. Unless that mind is purified by the blood of Jesus, unless you step away from the information, be able to filter it for you, fine-tune it to where God wants it to be, you might find yourself subject to bondage. And when you find yourself in this bondage, whether you're a young man, a young woman, a mature Christian, or whatever, it doesn't matter. If you don't take the appropriate actions, you can find yourself going to the realm of spiritual captivity. And in the realm of spiritual captivity, you start to see a lot of things, the gall of bitterness. Heavy burden, chains, and bondage of different types start happening. St. Paul started to talk to us about the gall of bitterness in the Bible. Gall, G-A-L-L, of bitterness. It is a festering place of resentment and bitterness. Festering is like a wound that is a scratch. And you don't treat it, you don't cover it, it becomes infected and it starts to fester. It starts to become more and more infectious until it may go systematic. In other words, it spread all over the whole body. So the gall of bitterness can enter into people in this mind level unless you purge it out, unless you remove it, unless you clean it out. As a Christian, work hard to clean it out. It can go deeper and deeper onto the lower dungeon of evil. People that were put in those captivity in those days, their levels. The criminals of different levels. The upper level is cleaner, lower level. Then you go to the inner dungeon where it is really a bondage. In captivity, they are always in chain. They are always bound. These are reserved for people who are hardened criminals, who are considered enemies of state, who are considered unrepentant. They cannot change. They are locked there, thrown away the key, and they are supposed to be bound forever. We don't want to go there. Many Christians have opened their minds to captivity by some of these things we call bitterness and resentment. And this bitterness and resentment can come in diverse forms. It could be that people introduce you to it. I've seen people that happen like that. Because they are white, you hate them for being white. Because your mother and father say that they are evil, or white people are evil. That's not the case. And that bitterness and resentment is there, even as a Christian. Because they are black, and you are white, and you are raised in a household where this is being talked and brought about, you start hating until it becomes a bind in their life that they will even go to the level of taking or destroying life. The gall of bitterness will take you to a level whereby you have this bitterness and resentment so deep that it festers and becomes systematic unless you purge it out of your system as a Christian. We have seen it started with man and wife. We have seen it started among friends. We have seen it started with things that is common, and you let it go, you let it fester, you let it remain there, and it becomes systematic to the point that infection is all over the organs, in the bowels, in the bones, in the organs of the body. It starts to fester, and at that point, there is no cure unless God delivers. And we are saying that this is just even the upper level. When it continues and goes into the spiritual captivity, things that happen there is not to be mentioned today. And we are praying that the Lord God will keep us from such in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen. There is no price to freedom. Freedom is such an important thing that no one wants to leave. They may give up their financial, material, whatever. But when it comes to freedom, there's no price to it. As a quote by one man say, give me freedom or give me death. In other words, freedom is our part of our natural inheritance that God has given us. God does not put anybody in captivity. It is Satan that puts man in captivity. God does not want you to remain in captivity because that's not the natural place God wants you to be. You are born to be free, as we said before. When you learn this and the enemy is sowing that seed initial time in your life, you will find a way by all means to take yourself out of it before you go to the lower pits. In captivity, the spirit of heaviness comes. In captivity, you find yourself mourning even in Zion, a place of happiness, a place of joy, a place of victory. You are a mourn. In captivity, it is a torment to wake up in the morning because your mind goes to the same thing over and over and over and over. I give one single example. A man married a wonderful woman. The lady was very beautiful, a Christian singer. He sings gospel songs. One day, the enemy through people sow a seed in his heart. That this beautiful woman, when he travels to go sing or do things, is cheating on you. And he allowed it to fester, and he started doubting the wife. He started questioning the wife. He started fearing that the wife is carrying an affair when she travels. Instead of removing it or calling the wife to discuss it, he allowed this thing to go into a gall of bitterness where there is fear, resentment, and bitterness, the fester. He started following to find out if anything is happening. As he was secretly monitoring and following, one day the wife happened to meet innocently, no planning, no intention, somebody that they were schoolmates, a man that they were schoolmates with before. They haven't seen one another for over 10, 15 years. They decided to go get a drink and just talk a little as friends. Not this somebody they knew. There's innocent meeting. No planning. And he was going around following. He said, "Whoa, my God. So this thing I suspected is true." But instead of moving it from his mind and calling the wife, to him, he became bitter and bitter until one day the enemy has gone so deep and he even started to drink and getting into drunk and stuff, and nobody knows what is going on. The enemy is working overtime in his life. Until this festering evil spirit took over, and in a drunken rage one day, he killed the wife. And two of them were Christians. Now, it could be different area that captivity has come. Some have captivity of fear for their life, it takes them into captivity. Some have captivity of fear for tomorrow, it takes them into captivity. Some have captivity through what the enemy, I have enemies. I have people that hate me. I have people that don't like me. And you allow it to fester, it becomes a bondage. Now, let's go to the scripture and look at some of these things. This thing happens in the realm of the flesh, also in the body or in the world, and also in the spirit. It's interchangeable. The point we are trying to do today is to lay a foundation. When you notice this bitter spirit, for whatever reason, against another person, it doesn't have to be a child of God. When you notice this resentment building up, maybe it is your co-worker that is very nasty human being and they are treating you in a way you don't deserve. Maybe it is a friend who have done something that has injured you. The wise thing is to fight this spirit immediately and remove it, because if you don't, it will become a bondage. And when it becomes a bondage, it's hard to dislodge. And when it's hard to dislodge, it can even go into that devil lower level where you find yourself in total captivity. Now, to secure your freedom, as I said, this is foundation. Or, as a believer, let's look at, first and foremost, Job chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. I want to bring something out quickly. Job 1, 9 to 10. One of the reasons why people go into captivity is when the hedge is removed due to sin, due to ignorance, due to rebellion, due to whatever it means that the enemy comes. In Job chapter 1, look at the bondage, the captivity that come in. He said, "The Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about Job and about his house and about all he had on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased. in the land. Why? Because there is a hedge, a protection around you. Let's quickly go to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8, quickly. Chapter 10, Ecclesiastes, verse 8, quickly. Ecclesiastes, if you don't have it, I'll get it here. 10, 8. He said, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh an edge, a serpent shall bite. If you as a Christian remove the hedge that is around you, that is one of the areas the enemy makes entrance. That hedge is the Holy Ghost anointing, the Shekinah glory that God used to cover them that fear him. It can be removed only by you or by God. Satan cannot remove that hedge around you. That's why I said that this captivity we are talking about at times is self-inflicted pain. At times, God can make a boast with a man, with Satan, over a man, as he did with Job and said, this is my servant Job. There is nothing you can do about him. So this is one of the ways that people get into captivity. Fear is another reason why people go into captivity. Let's go to Job chapter 3, verse 25. Job 3, 25. For the thing which I greatly fear is come upon me, and that which I am afraid of is come unto me. Now we're going to touch this on the volume, on the second part, spiritual captivity. Let's look quickly again at Hebrews chapter 2, 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lives subject to bondage. What we are bringing here is why some people go into captivity, at least on the upper level. Because when the enemy takes over completely, you don't have control again. So this is the time for you to redeem yourself. When, if fear comes, you have to fight it with the word of God. If anything is thrown against you from any angle, from any reason, you have to rise up to the occasion by using the word of God to go against it. Job is a man that fears the Lord. But he said that what I feared has happened to me. I pray that none of us will ever face the anguish, the pain that this man has to go through in his life. But there was fear there. And many a time, some of us, as a Christian, have allowed fear to come, fear of life, as I said, fear of enemies, mostly, or people we perceive to be enemies. And this fear has taken us to a point whereby we allow it to fester, we allow it to expand, until we start to look for solution where there is no solution instead of going to the Lord. Some people say that the fear of life is there so much that they become subject to bondage all the days of their life. I've seen Christians who this fear permeates so much into that they start to go to native doctors for protection. They start to look for spirit and mortar and peep and whisper for solution. That is not where solution is. Solution is in the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Now, if you are a Christian and your life is under God, under the protection, under the hedge of God. The Bible says, and we believe it and we confess it, that no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. But when people allow this to go out of bound, instead of releasing the power and the grace of God in their life upon the situation, they don't see it like that again. Later on, when we speak about it in detail more, Saul, a king of Israel, he took the witches and wizards and all of them and slaughtered them to clean the land of all witchery, of all type of sorcery, of all type of evil. The same Saul, when he allowed the fear of life, the fear of future, the this and that to take over his. He went back to the same people again, to the witches of, and start to question them, to dictate for them what should happen. This is an anointed king of Israel because he allowed fear to permeate his system, allowed fear to take over his life, allowed fear to come in there and whisper to him in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the night that God is no more able to be a shield, a hedge around them that fear him. But that is a lie of the devil. When we are speaking about the Lord is my shepherd, Jehovah Ra, in the teaching we just finished in the series, we spoke about how the shepherd, when they are in the wilderness, when they are in the midst of nowhere, and there we are wolves and four-legged animals that we eat the lambs, eat the sheep, what does he do? He goes into the bush and gets thorny bushes and make a fence and make a hedge, a big round circle, and put the sheep inside. And when the sheep is inside, he has a little opening, and in that opening in the front, he sleeps. The reason is for two purposes. So that the sheep will not wander away and stray in the night and be destroyed. And that thorny bush is also to prevent the animals that will devour the sheep from coming into the enclosure. It's a hedge around you. And we warn people that solution is not found outside Christ Jesus. The Bible said that there will be one shepherd and one fold. You have to remain in the house of God. You have to remain in the Word of God. You have to remain in the understanding that God is able to protect, is able to keep you. And whatever comes out of it, you are in the hand of the Lord. He said that no weapon, as we stated before, fashioned against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the children of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, says the Lord. If you stay outside there, you start to see things, you start to hear things, you start to believe things that is contrary to this word, and that is when captivity comes. This bitter resentment, this bitter anger, this bitter thing that eats and permeate every part of your body become there, that even after that, delusional spirit is time to come. You cannot grow spiritually again. You are bound hand and feet like people in bondage, captivity. Let's look at the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 2, Isaiah 52, verse 2, shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. One of the things that happened to people in captivity is captivity syndrome. Listening to the news sometime in the past, several times I've seen this. People who were captured and put in a busy neighborhood. In a house in a busy neighborhood. Male man comes and goes out. People come into that house and leave. But they were captive in this house. Not one person, several young ladies were captive and held captive in this house for years and years, many years. The reason is twofold. When you are in captivity, the enemy has the right to do whatever, or not necessarily the right. They are evil in nature. They do whatever they want to do. They put fear, torment over you. That's what the devil does. To the point that captivity syndrome happened, that people were no more agitating to leave. They are no more fighting to get out of that situation. They are no more fighting to losing up, to be free. So they become subject to bondage all the days of their life. Bible says that is not right for you. He said here, shake yourself from the dust. Anything that will impede your walk with the Lord, fight it with everything you have. Anything that will hold you down from growing in the Lord, from being the person that Jesus Christ wants you to be, take it away. I met one surprised one time, a man and a wife who were married for over about 30 years. And they approached me to discuss marital problem. And before you start doing certain things, being that they were humble enough to come to me, we took time to look at the situation. And the foundation of it was the day they got married. The very day they got married, that the problem happened. And over the years, this has sown bitterness in the mind of the woman because of what the man did. This has sown resentment in the mind of this sister, a godly child of God. And yes, she expected this man to make an amendment to correct that thing that was done to her own family on the wedding day. 30 years down the line, a lot of problem has happened in this marriage. A lot of things have happened that the roots of it was from what was done 30 years ago. Unknown to her until we start discussing, the man was not aware of it. What she had, what they told her was not what it was. But it was never brought up. It was never discussed. It was never prayed over. You never agitate to get out of this situation. And it became a festering wound. Gall of bitterness set in. That's the day I made a quote. I said, your husband is not a prophet. Your wife is may not be a prophetess. They may not know your mind, and they may not be able to discern your mind. If you have a situation, bring it out and discuss it before two of you in the plan that God has made, man and wife, talk it over, pray over it, and find solution. So the bitterness that has lingered, that has stopped her from being what she would be as a mother, as a wife, all these years, and created an agony in that marriage, was resolved because the man never knew that this happened to her own side of the family on the day of the wedding. He thought it was the man, the family, that planned to throw this insult on their family. The foundation of this we are discussing today is for you to agitate and get out of it. Shake yourself out of it. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion, or son of Zion, or whatever you are. You do this also by putting on the whole armor of God. Of God is a full garment for battle. The shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, the shoe that deceiving you put on is for truth. The belt and all these things are part of what you have to put on to be able to fight these things that happens to Christians. And that is part of the reason many does not grow. They have spiritual captivity that is working in their life. Their prayer is not breaking through. Their cry to God is not getting through because deep down inside them, they were already bound. Many people today, if you read them, hate this kind of stuff. I hate that person. I will never talk to that person. I spoke to somebody not to say, I will never forgive this. I say, how then do you plan to make to heaven? Because she was really injured. The thing that happened was shouldn't happen. But at that point, you have to give it up because of the name of the Lord. Say, I surrender all because of the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's look at Job chapter 42, verse 10. Job 42, verse 10. Job 42, 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Captivity of Job. What happened here? Is that Job, as we read in the beginning, the hedge was broken because of fear. And God made a challenge to Satan. I know my servant Job. And Job went into this agony, this torment, this bottomless pit. This mighty creature who found himself deep inside the pit. And then friends came. The purpose of your friend is to uplift you, to encourage you, to help you. But that's not always the case. Some friends are agents of the enemy. Some friends are not friends. They are agents. They are sown to destroy you unless you are careful. So also are some people in your life. But you don't go to smell shadow. You don't go to see omen in everything. You don't go to suspect everybody. There are people God put there to be a blessing to you, for you also. You have to have a discerning spirit. These people started to torture Job from day one. They came to encourage him, but they're telling him, pushing him down. It is not because you are righteous. It's not your sin that brought you so far. This and that. And after some time, from all indication, Job grew bitter. Job was not happy with what is happening. It seemed that the remaining of his family also have an idea, maybe out of love, and say, this is what you should do, curse God and die. So everything turned against this man. And he became captive because of captive people. When people are captive, they will subject you into captivity if you are not careful. They will come and plant things in your family or plant things in your life to bring you to destruction because they are already in captivity, trying to put you in the same way they are. I say misery seeks company. And if you are not careful, you fall into it. So Job continued in this torment. Days in, maybe months, I don't know the duration. But the Bible said here that it is only when he turned to the Lord, when he prayed and forgave his friends, that the Lord turned his captivity around. And by God's grace, he received double portion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 5, please, quickly. Now you are to cast an imagination that came to that mind, the battleground. When these negative informations, when this picture, whether you think you saw it, whether it's imagination, whether it is real, you have to learn to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalted himself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You have to learn to do this or you will find yourself in the pit, which many have done to their sorrow and God destroyed. I've spoken to people at times. I've experienced it in my own life. There are certain things I have to be praying every day. Every Lord, release me from this. I release these people. I want them to be free. I ask you to make them free. Don't hold them to their account, oh Lord. Pray and pray and pray until you get this relief. Pray and pray until you let go even your enemies. Them that curse you. Them that hold you in disregard, ill repute, treated you like what you don't deserve, you pray to release them so that you don't bind yourself like them. That is why he said, casting down imaginations, every one of them, and every high thing that exalted himself against the knowledge of God. And by you doing this, bringing them into captivity and every thought to the obedience of Christ. Brethren, we are in a war, and it's a spiritual war. The reason Christ came, first and foremost, is to take us out of the prison house, give us liberty, give us freedom. But many of us, willingly or unwillingly, is taking back into those captivity in our thinking. The spirit that is at work are many. Some are playing jealousy. They start to jealous this other person is doing better, their children is doing better, they have more money, they are doing this and that. You don't even know what the situation of that person might be. And this is in the household of faith. You might be better than them and you thought they are better than you. And when jealousy comes, there comes all other evil works. Where fear comes, there comes other many other evil works. When bitterness and resentment set in, other evil works follows through. You have to disengage yourself. You have to pull yourself out of that pit. Shake yourself from the dust, O daughters of Zion. Arise and pull yourself from that pit. If you have to go through, according to the Bible, it said the armor of God, the shield of faith. Take time to fast. Take time to pray. Take time to pray against those who does this thing against you so that you can release them from your mind. The battleground where this thing takes place, where God is tugging you and the enemy is tugging, is in the mind. So that you can let them go. And by letting them go, when he prayed for his friends, he said his own captivity was turned around. That is Job. May God give us this grace in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Now there is no joy in captivity. In Psalm 127 verse 1, let's quickly read. So you don't remain there because all that will come out of captivity is evil, is pain, is disgrace. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. I say Psalm 137, verse 1 to 4. Okay, let's continue. Go to verse 2, please. Psalm 137, not 127. Psalm 137. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat and yea, we wept. When we remembered Zion, where there should be song of deliverance, song of praise, song of rejoicing, we hanged our house upon the willows in the midst thereof. Verse 3. For they that carried us captive required of us a song. And they that wasted in captivity, you are taken captive, you are wasted, you are mourned, you are mockery. This is what the enemy does if you allow yourself to stay in that level. Then that wasted us required of us might, saying, sing unto us one of the songs of Zion. Go to 4. But how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land of captivity? There is no joy in captivity. If you notice the enemy starting to put this, push you into it, whatever it is, disengage, fight. Redeem yourself. Shake yourself from the dust. You cannot stoop to their level. You cannot become like them and call yourself a Christian. You cannot exercise their rights like they do. You have a different right given to you by God. The right to forgive. The right to love. The right to embrace even when you are pushed out. The right to pray for them that hurt you. The right to do good to them. that wouldn't even recognize you are there. That is what God calls us to do. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. But when captivity is complete and you are delivered, let's go to Psalm 126, verse 1 to 4. Psalm 126, 1 to 4. When the Lord then turned again the captivity of Zion. What happens? Somebody read with me. We were like them that dream. When you find yourself in this situation and you are delivered, it is a full, complete deliverance. Then there was in our mouth filled with laughter. Instead of mourning in Zion, instead of spirit of heaviness, instead of gall of bitterness, there was laughter in their mouth. And our tongue was singing. Then even your enemy recognized and said among them, the Lord had done great things for them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ha. The Lord had done it again. Great things for us, whereof we are glad. Brethren, in conclusion of this part, let us realize that God wants us to be free. Do not get yourself into this level. I have a testimony that God will make way for me to give. And this actually opened my mind into this area of captivity. Great injustice was done to me. I'm still going through the process, fighting it. But the level of bitterness that came to my heart at a point, I couldn't believe it. I know who I am. I know my belief system. I know the Lord I trust. But this thing was like darkness oppressing me. The injustice was great. It touched me in different areas. I saw justice. I'm not getting justice. And the enemy started to whisper. The enemy started to bring me around to hate, to feel bitterness against some people, against those people I thought I would step up and help out. No. It was evident to all that this was wrong. But nothing was being done to serve me, to help me. I start to notice this, and I say, is that how the enemy works? It's a snake. The enemy is a snake. He came in reading like this. You don't know when he creeps into your mind and start, and that's how even some people, at times when he goes to stage, they do things they don't believe they will ever do in their life. Who will tell Saul that he will go to native doctors after he has killed all of them, king of Israel? Who will tell that child of God that you go and do things tragic, evil, because of that? Because the enemy has come in and you didn't wither, you didn't root it out, you didn't go against it, and you allow your bitterness to come up front and rage, and every evil work follows it. And the manifestation is destruction. You rise up and pray and deliver yourself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Jesus set us free. And he said, if the Son of Man set you free, you are what? Free indeed, in totality. So let's stand on our feet this morning. If Christ has set you free, you are then free indeed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If Christ has made you free, you are free indeed. There will be injustice in this world. The enemy will come in different ways against you, testing you to see if you can pull you down and destroy you. Do not allow him to gain ground. Do not allow him to get a threshold into your life. It is not easy at times to give up your right. It is not easy at times to yield when you know you don't deserve what is happening. But Christ has called us to peace. Christ has called us to righteousness. Christ has called us to follow his example. The end journey for me and you is eternal life. And anything in between, we must fight. Anything that will stop us from making it, we have to go against that with everything we have. If you are standing this morning and you are in gall of bitterness against your parents, against your husband, against your wife, against anybody at work, against any individual. If you are watching us this morning or later on, and you are fitting into this criteria, I ask you to leave them, to give them up. It is not worth it. Do not slither and enter into that gall of bitterness where festering spirit, every kind of evil work abides. You don't win. They may have hit you in where it matters most in your life. The situation have touched you where you can't know how to move ahead without it. Say he set us free. And by that, the Christ we serve will make a way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Christ we serve will make a way. Somebody say, praised be the name of the Lord. It is of the Lord's mercy that me and you are not consumed. Therefore, let us remember that it is his mercy. Show, extend that mercy to others also. I ask you in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to take everybody here to take a moment and pray. If you have somebody you want to release, release them right now. If you have somebody that you want to let go, let them go right now. If you have something that you are holding on to that is binding you, this is the hour to let them go. Christ is calling on us because God has greater things in store for you. There's a plan that God has for you, and the enemy cannot do anything. He cannot take you away from that plan. But you have to step into the line, into the will of God. Call on Jesus Christ at this hour to help you. No matter what it is, let them go. Eternal God, we thank you. You say, if the Son of Man set you free, you are free indeed. Everybody here this morning, we believe are free. But if there is any that is bound in their hearts, if you are saying that the enemy has made an entrance and the root of bitterness is taking his angle, Lord Jehovah God, deliver and help us out in Jesus' mighty name. Let us, as people who are set free, let us be free indeed, so that we don't succumb to spiritual captivity. At this level, we can remove them, we can discard them, so that we don't go into the depth of hell, because that is where the real bondage is. And Lord, you have set us free. Let us exercise our freedom this hour. In forgiving, in loving others, we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you.